Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Well, I was hoping you'd say he is truly risen. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead.
He is truly risen.
There we go. Oh, good. What a beautiful celebration, and what a reassuring gospel. What was reassuring about the gospel for me is this part where it says that John enters into the tomb, he sees the burial cloth in a separate place. He saw and he believed. John, the guy who was at the foot of the cross the day before, the guy who's been walking with Jesus for years now, it's at this moment says, and he believed. Which I think should give us all a little bit of hope and consolation, because we all struggle with our faith from time to time. And so did the apostles. Actually, we go on, like, so 40 days from now when they celebrate the ascension, it says they worshiped, but some doubted. They're like, yeah, I know, but I don't quite totally know. And that's actually pretty normal in the Christian life. And this is what our faith hinges on. Was the tomb empty or not? Did Jesus rise from the dead or not? If he rose from the dead, then I got to give him everything. I got to give my life to him. I got to live for him and him alone. If he didn't rise from the dead, then I got to find a new job. And you guys got to find another place to go on Sundays. But I believe, and you believe, that he did rise from the dead. And that's why we're here tonight. And even if sometimes we struggle with that, we believe that he rose from the dead. And I think that when we struggle with our faith, we do what the apostles did. So Mary, she shows up, hey, the tomb's empty, I don't know where he is. They don't say, oh, well, that's nice. They go to the tomb. They don't believe yet, they don't fully believe yet, but they go, they do something. They go there. And I think that's important. St. Augustine says that we have to believe so that we can live well. So we can live well so we can please God. So we can please God so we can purify our hearts. And with pure hearts, then we can understand what we believe. It's kind of like starting in reverse. We kind of think we have to have it all together before we start off on the journey. And what he's saying is, no. You gotta just believe that there's something at the end of the journey and start going, and then it'll start to make sense. Let me give you an example. How many of you drive or can drive a stick shift? Who can drive a stick shift? Okay. How many of you know what popping the clutch is? Okay, so some of you are gonna learn something today. All right, so popping the clutch. So normally when you start a car, you turn the key, it ignites something, the spark plugs, there's fire, and it, you know, makes the engine go, and then you can start turning the wheels, right? So, but what if you could start turning the wheels and then get the engine to start that way instead? Well, that's what popping the clutch is. So you start the car rolling, you have the clutch down, you have it in second gear, you pop it out, and all of a sudden the car comes to life. It's really magical. My first car was a 1988 Honda Accord. It wasn't that old when I was, I mean, that was only 10 years old back then. But it was a stick shift. And I was really proud of, you know, being able to drive a stick shift when I was 16. And at one point, the battery died. And I didn't have money for a new battery. I barely had money for gas. So instead of going to get a new battery, I just always parked on a hill. So everywhere I would just park on a hill. And so then when I would get back into the car, I would just put it in neutral. I would start coasting down the hill. I put it in the second gear, pop the clutch, and I'm off and running. And, you know, sometimes when I'm driving, you know, trying to find a place to park, I had to be mindful of, well, I can't park here because I won't be able to start my car. I can't park there. So you always have to find a hill. My greatest moment, maybe one of the greatest moments of my entire life, I was in the parking lot where I worked at a used car dealership, ironically enough. And I pulled in, and I don't know if I'd just forgotten, but I pulled into this spot, and there was nowhere to go forward, and there was only a slight decline going backwards. So when I left that day, I actually popped the clutch in reverse and drove away, and I was very proud of that moment. Thank you. And I think that that's kind of what St. Augustine is getting at. Like, it's nice when we do it in the normal order. We're baptized, we receive the gift of faith, we grow up in a household of faith, and then we just live the faith, and it just gets bigger and brighter, and we understand it more and more. Like, okay, great. But that's not always the case. Sometimes we have to do it in reverse. And what that means is keep doing the things that we know we're supposed to do. And then things become clearer. A friend of mine was a college professor, and he was a philosophy professor, and he had a student, former student, email him, said, "Professor, I'm no longer a Christian. I've decided I'm an atheist for the following reasons." And my friend wrote back to him and said, "When did you stop going to Mass?" And he wrote back and said, "Well, a few months ago." And he said, "Okay, well, start going to Mass again, and then we'll talk." So he emails him back a couple months later. He says, "Okay, I went back to Mass. I'm not an atheist anymore, but I still have a lot of questions." It's really easy to doubt in our faith when we're not doing the things that we're supposed to do. It's really easy to be an atheist when we're not going to Mass, when we're not praying. It's really easy to not believe when I'm hanging out with other people who don't believe. It's really easy to fall away if I'm not doing the things that keep me close and connected to Jesus. And so if I'm struggling with my faith, that's the time to double down all the more. And I have just one suggestion for everyone here, and it's a two-part suggestion, but I think every one of us can in some way take this to heart and put it into a practice. And what it is simply to make Sunday the day of the resurrection. Every Sunday we celebrate the resurrection. That's why the apostles early on in the early church, they said, you know what? Saturday's not the day anymore. Sunday's the day. We're going to do Sundays. For their whole lives they've been doing Saturdays. That's the Sabbath. We're doing Sundays. That's how important it was to them. And so I think all of us, you know, can just get more serious about our Sundays. And for some of us, that might mean, you know, it's like, I miss Mass sometimes on Sundays. Okay, well, there's the thing. You gotta get better at being here on Sunday Mass every single Sunday. Make it the priority. Some of you, it's sports, you know? We got sports, and so you get to Mass, but it's always just chaotic, and you're trying to find the place to go, and you're driving around and looking, and it just makes Sunday stressful. I know somebody who is a parishioner here. He was an athlete in high school. He would just tell his coach, "Yeah, no, I'm not coming on Sunday." Well, he wrestled in states his junior year, I believe, and I think if you're good enough, the coach will allow you not to be there on Sunday. And if you're not good enough, well, I don't know why you would want to miss Mass for sitting on the bench anyway. But taking like sports, like let's just be serious about it. Like, yeah, I don't need to be there. Or sometimes when we're traveling, we say, "Oh well, you know, I'm not gonna do it." Well, let's make Sunday Sunday. Maybe for some of you, it's like work, you know, doing stuff on Sunday. You know, we're all working from home. It's real easy to go and like just, you know, put in 6 hours and nobody's interrupting you. It's really easy. But to not do that, one of the reasons why, you know, the Sabbath was given to us was because we're not slaves anymore. We've been delivered from slavery in Egypt. We don't have to work. We can allow the Lord to care for us and take care of us. And so allowing ourselves that time to rest, that can be hard for us. Rest can be the hard thing for us. I think one way that can help us in this is schedule something fun on Sunday. Invite somebody over on Sunday. I had some parishioners invite me and another couple over the other day on a Sunday, and we just sat and talked and chatted for like 4 hours. Well, if you wanted to work that day, you didn't have the opportunity. You didn't have that temptation. So however it is for you, what's the thing that's helped making Sunday not Sunday? You know, maybe it's studies, maybe it's homework. You know, like doing all your homework on Sunday. Like, okay, well, do it on Saturday. Do it on Friday. Make Sunday Sunday. It's a beautiful thing. It really enhances our faith. And then the second part to this is Easter Sunday is the best. It's so good. I love Easter Sunday. But if we didn't do the 40 days of Lent before it, it wouldn't really be that great. It would just be another day. And so the reason why Easter Sunday is so good is because we've been like fasting and giving stuff up for the last 5 weeks. So we get to Sunday and we say, yes, I get to eat whatever it was I gave up. I get to do whatever it was I gave up. And there's something beautiful about that and exciting about that that we look forward to. Well, how can we look forward to every single Sunday? Well, in the same way, we save the celebrations for Sundays. And I think the way that we can help ourselves do this is by celebrating Fridays the way that we celebrated them during Lent. You know, and that's always been the age-old practice of refraining from something on Friday. It's always, it traditionally had been meat. The church said, hey, you can do whatever you want, but do something. We tend not to do anything because we don't know what to do. So I suggest just do meat. Don't do meat on Friday. No meat Fridays actually helps me to think about Sunday already. If Friday, there's just a little penance. I mean, not eating meat is not that huge of a deal, but just a little penance on Friday makes Sundays all the more powerful. Because really, Easter Sunday doesn't make any sense without Good Friday. If Good Friday didn't happen, then Easter Sunday didn't happen. If Jesus didn't die on the cross, he certainly didn't rise from the dead. And so how can we help ourselves to make Sunday, every single Sunday, a day of resurrection? Jesus Christ is truly risen from the dead. Let's celebrate that with our whole lives. Let's enhance our belief about what we do. Pop the clutch, roll the car down the hill, start going, set out like the apostles for the tomb. I don't know what I'm going to find when I get there, but I do know that I won't find anything if I stay here. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead.